Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is your host, Terry Sue. And today we will be discussing Ayurveda, yoga, and meditation with Dr. Jack Ebner, owner and founder of the Amadon Wellness Center in Seal Beach, California. Dr. Jack Ebner is one of Southern California's most innovative and influential leaders in the field of wellness and holistic health. He is a practitioner of the healing arts, an educator, and the founder of the Amadon Wellness Center and Yoga Studio. He has served as a chiropractor and holistic health care provider for over 25 years. Amadon was the first multidisciplinary holistic health care center in Orange County, and Dr. Ebner has served as its director since its inception in 1988. He has published a chapter in the textbook Chiropractic and Head Pain and is presently working on his own book, Ayurvedic Cranial Therapy. Dr. Ebner has earned a BA degree in psychology, a BS degree in human biology, and a doctorate in chiropractic. Dr. Ebner has advanced training in Ayurveda through the California College of Ayurveda and is a certified practitioner of Ayurvedic medicine by the California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine. He is a certified yoga teacher through the Sivananda Yoga International Organization and authorized to teach meditation by Yogi Raj Vaitha Thiri, Maharishi of Benares. I hope I didn't butcher that too much. So welcome, Dr. Jack. Welcome.
Thanks, Terry Sue. Glad to be here.
Okay, so let's begin by having you tell our listening audience about the Amadon Wellness Center and what it has to offer.
Okay, well, the Amadon Wellness Center has been in existence for about 23 years, and it's a holistic healthcare center. We integrate many of the natural healthcare systems like acupuncture, chiropractic, Ayurvedic medicine, massage, and nutrition. And we've got special programs like detox programs and different types of wellness services. In addition to that, we've got a full service or a full schedule yoga studio, and we offer about 40 yoga classes a week and other types of educational classes and workshops surrounding holistic healthcare and wellness.
And so, just I usually when I'm interviewing about Ayurveda, I usually have my guests give us one more time and an overview of what it is.
Okay. Well, Ayurveda is the oldest system of natural health care in the world. It's the traditional healing system of India. So like Chinese medicine is to China, Ayurvedic medicine is to India. It's a natural health care system. Its primary tools are diet, herbs, and lifestyle, including all the different types of techniques like breathing exercises, postures, and other yoga types of practices. And interestingly enough, while because normally you would think a healthcare system that's literally 5,000 years old would have no relevance in today's world. We've certainly learned a few things about science in the last 5,000 years and medicine. But I've studied traditional Western medicine through my chiropractic education and have been practicing, you know, practiced literally for about 12 to 15 years prior to learning Ayurvedic medicine. And from the knowledge and wisdom that I learned studying Ayurveda, I'm able to help my patients in ways that, I wasn't able to before.
So basically, with Ayurveda, we are using the body, the mind, to heal using all of the elements of nature and paying attention to our bodies and our and using our minds to heal ourselves.
Extremely well said. Exactly.
Okay. So with studying Ayurveda, there are the doshas. Mm-hmm. There's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Could you briefly explain those?
Okay.
Or describe them?
Yeah, that's a big, big topic. And when I lecture on this topic, like when I teach my Ayurveda course, we spend about at least six hours on it. So it's hard to give a short synopsis, but the doshas are based on the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And basically, the principle is that everything in nature is made from those five elements. And so each of those elements have their own qualities. For instance, earth element is going to be heavier, it's going to be more stable, fire element is going to be hot, air element is going to be more subtle, it's going to be movable, it's going to be drying, and so on and so forth. And so everybody is made of these five elements, and depending on the proportion of the elements in their constitution, they may tend to run a little hotter or to run a little heavier, or manifest the nature of the five different elements. The doshas are a little bit of kind of an abbreviation of the five elements. So you have five elements, but you have three doshas. Mm-hmm. So Kapha dosha is made from earth and water element, and that's going to be your heavier dosha. It's also going to be cold, wet, stable. Pitta dosha is going to come primarily from fire element, and so it's going to be hot, light, transformative. And then the last dosha, Vata dosha, is made from the air and ether elements, and so it's going to be the most subtle dosha. People who have primary Vata constitutions will tend to have lighter bodies, will tend to be maybe a little more active, have more motion, and all of these various qualities then constitute the study of the doshas.
And so that also ties in with the personalities as well.
Exactly.
Correct?
That's exactly right. So you really get to see the mind-body connection very specifically in Ayurveda, because the same qualities that manifest in the body manifest in the mind. So if someone's running hot in their body, then they may have certain kinds of diseases like fever, inflammation, red burning skin lesions, ulcers. And people who tend to be running hot in their mind will tend to manifest some of the hot emotions, like anger would be, you know, the one that would come first to mind.
And so with the body and mind having some of the same kinds of qualities, then what you put into your body also is related to how you would react accordingly, behaviorally.
Exactly. That's exactly true. And so
so someone that has that fiery element to them, the pitta,
mm-hmm.
They would have to stay more, they would have to stick more with cooling foods, nourishing foods that are also cooling.
Well, it is all about balance.
It's a balance,
so people
yes.
who do have fire in their nature, or as maybe one of the strongest elements in their nature, they will tend to overheat more easily than, let's say, the average person. And then things that tend to get them heated, they'll be extremely sensitive to, like, for instance, like hot, spicy foods. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. If a pitta person has too much fire and is overheating, then he would want to stay away from the heating foods like hot spices and then tread more towards cooling foods. A good example of a cooling food would be coconut or aloe, those would be examples of cooling foods. And so by putting cool, if a person's overheated, you have two ways of balancing that person, either decreasing the amount of hot that they're taking into their body or by increasing the cool.
And so someone that has, that is kapha, and I'm on the heavier side, the bigger, one of the bigger boned kind of people. I would have to, and I know that I have to not eat a lot of potatoes and milk products and things that would kind of be, would weigh me down and cause me not to, and because I'm kapha, I tend to hold on to a lot of things. So I would really have to watch what I eat as far as that's concerned and stick to some of the lighter foods in order to create that balance.
Exactly. So if you tend to have kapha nature, then there may be heaviness that's expressing itself in the body. And so you'd want to decrease foods that have heavy nature, like the foods you mentioned, starchy kinds of foods, and increase foods that have light nature, like salads and things like
that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, oh my, that's going fast. Well, it's time for us to take a short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Dr. Jack Ebner, owner and founder of the Amadon Wellness Center in Seal Beach, California. And you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Can you define your talent in 6 words or less? Are you using your inner resource, intuition? Listening to Joyce Anderson of Conversations with Yourself will work your intuitive muscle to discover your divine skill. Each week, your host Joyce Anderson will give you practical exercises to jumpstart your intuition to live in your talent. From sports to business to music to food, talent is everywhere. Join Joyce and her engaging guests to hear their how-to stories. Tune in to Conversations with Yourself, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. And ignite your talent.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion on Ayurveda, yoga, and meditation with my guest, affectionately known by some as Dr. Jack of the Amadon Wellness Center in Seal Beach, California. So, Dr. Jack, could you please just tell us then a little bit more about those elements that affect how our body reacts to certain foods? And by that, I mean, how does Ama and Agni and Ojas, how are they related?
Okay. So there's some very good words that are very important to Ayurvedic medicine. So basically, Agni is a word that's used for the digestive fire. And so digestion is extremely important in all of the holistic therapies. So we're looking to make sure that there's enough fire to properly and fully digest your food. If your digestive fire is very good, we say you have good Agni. If your digestive fire is a little running too high, too hot, and then that may manifest as heartburn or ulcers or burning stomach pains, then you have high Agni. And if you have low appetite and poor digestion and you're not fully digesting your foods, then we would say you have low Agni. So having good Agni is very important, and in Ayurveda there's many herbs and spices that are used in order to bring up the Agni. Now, when the fire tends to be too low, what happens is you're not fully digesting or fully burning through your food, and as a result, you have kind of a waste of partially or incompletely digested food, and that circulates in your lymphatic system, as you could say, lymphatic guk. And the Ayurvedic word for lymphatic guk is ama. And ama is something that it's, you can identify that there's ama in the body. That's like saying there's toxicity in the body.
Yes.
And so in order to burn that toxicity, we want to bring up the Agni. We also, one of the best ways to identify whether there is ama in the body in Ayurvedic medicine is to do tongue analysis. And if you look at the tongue, you can see the tongue is kind of an indication of what it looks like inside your digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally we would like to see a clean tongue that is moist, smooth, and pink or red in color. But if you see various kinds of coatings, very often you'll see kind of a white frothy coating or a yellowish sticky coating. That's a sign of ama. Ojas is another word that's not really related to digestion, but ojas is a term in Ayurveda that's used for the immunity force. And so people with good ojas have good immunity. They have a strong aura. Your aura in Ayurvedic medicine is said to be the first line of defense. And so you can usually see if a person has good ojas by the kind of the glow that they have. You know, people who have strong glow in their body is a sign or manifestation of good ojas.
All right, so when we talk about balances and imbalances, those fluctuate over time, don't they? I mean, they don't always stay the same, and that's why we really have to watch what we eat. We need to watch how often we exercise and how much water we intake, and then also how much stress we're under.
That's
and
right.
Watching those stress levels, because that can create those, all of those things can create imbalances, especially with the stresses of work, the stresses of home life. Things need to be really kept in check in order to make sure that we maintain those balances. Right.
That's exactly right, and it's right. Your balance is continuously fluctuating, and so in Ayurvedic medicine, what we're looking for is what you're taking into yourself, because what you take into yourself is what creates either the balance or the imbalances. So everyone's heard the expression, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you're taking in a lot more than just food into yourself.
That's right.
And that's including things like sensory impressions, thoughts, ideas. These are all things that we take in. And when we take those things into ourselves, we also take in the qualities of those things. So when we watch a movie, like a violent movie, then we take in a lot of that energy from the violence into our body, and then that creates, we bring in the qualities of that sensation into our being, and that affects us.
I like to relate that to emotional nutrition, so to speak, or lack of. We really need to watch everything that goes into our, not only our stomachs, but we need to watch the things that are going into our minds.
Right.
Things that we are reading, things that we are, as you said, looking at television, looking at movies, how much violence is in that, because we really do take those things to bed with us, and we sleep with them, and we awake with them. And sometimes the last thing we see or hear or do before we go to bed at night has to do with whether or not we're getting enough rest. And if we're reading something that's very uplifting and something that is very encouraging or positive, then those things are things that we will internalize while we're at sleep. So we really do need to watch those our emotional balance and well-being, as well as our physical and nutritional balance.
Very, very true. It's very interesting in our culture, because if you asked anybody, what would you rather be feeling? What emotion would you prefer? Peacefulness and harmony, or fear and anxiety. I mean, I don't know too many people who would prefer fear and anxiety, but when you look at our media, you look at, let's say, our entertainment, let's say the most popular movie genre right now is horror movie, and second to that is suspense. So these movies are designed to create fear and anxiety, and that's what we choose to go to in our free time. And you're right, that tends to be toxic to our emotional being, just in the same way that toxic food is to our physical body.
And you know what, Dr. Jack, I've often heard people say that they use it as a means of escape because it makes them feel like their problems aren't so bad if they're looking at a situation that's worse than their own. But they really are taking on that kind of stress when they're, if I could put on some kind of monitor and measure the amount of stress that they're experiencing while they're looking at that so-called escape, I think it would be very telling, and maybe people would stop doing that so much.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm going to switch from Ayurveda, but I am going to switch what we're talking about right now and ask you, how does Ayurveda use the progresses and benefits of modern science and medicine to facilitate the healing process?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because, again, Ayurveda is an ancient wisdom, and so it's not necessarily part of modern science, and it needs to be, in my opinion. And so what you're seeing now is a movement of Ayurvedic medicine into the awareness of people in this country that kind of tailed in with the explosion of yoga. And it does have to integrate what we've learned in the last few thousand years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a believer that the new practitioners in Ayurvedic medicine now need to, to take the ball. They need to be the new rishis. They need to be the new sages, and to begin to develop the science into the 21st century. And so there's a lot of ways that you can integrate Ayurveda with modern medicine. One way would be using lab tests, because Ayurveda loves to look for information from the body and has many, many tools to do that. But it certainly didn't have the tools of, let's say, blood testing, saliva testing, stool testing,
yes,
and the kinds of things that we have available today. But that information can definitely be integrated and interpreted from an Ayurvedic standpoint, and I think we need to do that in order to make this practice relevant to the 21st century.
Well, the last question I'm going to ask you before we go to break, and I have to ask you to be fairly brief, because we're going to be talking about it anyway, but what is the significance of yoga to Ayurveda?
Well, yoga is like the spiritual practice, and Ayurveda is like the medicine practice. And so they do have a very important, they are brother and sister sciences. And, yoga is a long spiritual practice in order to that ends in self-realization, and Ayurveda is the health science that keeps you alive long enough to be able to get to the goal.
Yes. So we'll definitely continue our discussion on yoga in our next segment, but right now it's time for us to take another short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Dr. Jack Ebner of the Amadon Wellness Center, and you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our discussion on Ayurveda, yoga, and meditation with Dr. Jack Ebner, owner and founder of the Amadon Wellness Center in Seal Beach, California. And before break, Dr. Jack, we were talking about yoga and how yoga is related to Ayurveda. They actually go hand in hand, and one really shouldn't be done without the other if you want to get the full benefit. So what is your opinion on that?
Well, I agree. Those two practices together are extremely good basis for reaching one's full potential, body, mind, and spirit.
And so who should practice yoga?
Everybody. There's really no,
I keep getting that same answer, and it's so true.
there's really no reason to give any other answer. You know, the great thing about yoga is that it starts where you are at, and so it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a 70-year-old person that, you know, hasn't exercised at all ever in their life, or whether you're a 20-year-old athlete. It just starts where you are, and it begins to work in order to create more flexibility in your body and your nervous system and greater structural integration and many, many benefits.
You know, I have to say that even though it is non-competitive, I still go into yoga class feeling not as if I'm competing, but because I am at the point that I am, it's quite interesting to watch me get up and down off of that floor. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I'm one of the ones that goes to the back because I hope that nobody sees me back there. But I have to tell you, when I'm done, I feel really good that I have persevered, and it's a long battle for me because I am out of shape and I do need to do more and I need to practice more, but I definitely do feel the benefits of it, and I feel quite peaceful during the process, but at the same time I guess that's my own self-image that feels a little self-conscious when I'm in the class itself. So, long story short, mm-hmm. I love my mm-hmm. yoga class, mm-hmm. and at the same time, I can feel the progress, and it is at the pace where I am, and I just have to stay the course. So,
exactly. The biggest challenge is just getting your body into the yoga room. Mm-hmm. Once you're there, you know, the teacher will guide you through the practice, and, you know, self-conscious, it's not uncommon for people to be self-conscious and to look around the room, and you may see, you know, someone who's a dancer or someone who is a gymnast and they're, you know, and has incredible flexibility in their body and think, oh boy, I'll never be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessary for you to be able to do that. You know, it's just good to be able to take your body from wherever it is and begin to move it towards greater grace, greater flexibility, greater core strength, and that brings greater health and greater confidence.
So as far as establishing physical well-being, how does yoga establish mental and emotional well-being?
Well, one thing we should probably talk about a little bit is, you know, the definition of yoga, because that does mean a lot of different things, depending on who you're talking to. So yoga as it's practiced in the United States primarily is hatha yoga or the physical yoga. And so everybody, you know, is familiar with the different kinds of twists and stretches that most people identify with yoga practice. And so that's called asana. That's postures. And postures are really only one out of eight limbs of yoga. And so there's many other types of practices that are also part of yoga. And those include things like breathing exercises and mental exercises. And so it's the mental part of yoga that's involved in concentration, meditation, quieting the mind, and even the breathing exercises as well, that all help to calm the thoughts, slow the thoughts down, and create more peacefulness of the mind.
And so with that comes eliminating stress. Does that come right? Do you find that it comes right away for mm-hmm. most people, or does it take time?
Well, just, you know, it doesn't eliminate stress. The stress is going to still be there. What it does is it strengthens your capacity to manage the stress.
And I misstated my right question, actually. That is what I meant.
I understand. Yeah, I'm sure you did. But that's right. So the practice, all of the practices of yoga actually are helping to increase one's ability to manage stress. The physical postures, the breathing exercises, and the mental exercises really are all will create less anxiety, more flexibility in the nervous system, more peacefulness of mind, and it just kind of works. It's magic.
So, does it have curative benefits? And if so, what kinds of curative benefits does it have? And I know it's a loaded question, but could you give us some examples of maybe illnesses that have benefited greatly from the practice of yoga?
Mm-hmm, sure. So just understand the basic principle, which is that, and that's really true for all of holistic medicine, is it's not really the disease that you're treating, it's the person that you're mm-hmm. treating. And mm-hmm. so what you're doing with these practices is that you're creating the ideal environment inside your body and mind in order to be as healthy, you know, to reach your full health potential. And so it doesn't really matter what disease you're talking about, whether you're talking about a physical disease like, I don't know, asthma or arthritis, or you're talking about a mental issue like anxiety or depression. If you breathe, if you move, if you calm your mind, all of these practices will have a positive bearing upon, you know, one's health and their ability to be able to cure their own disease. Healing comes from inside out. It's not the yoga that cures the disease. It's the yoga that simply creates the environment for your own body to be able to cure the disease.
So as far as a specific disorder mm-hmm. or illness, could you kind of give us an example of how yoga benefits that?
Sure. So let's take something disc degeneration in your back, which is very, very common. If you x-ray anybody over 50 years old, you're going to start to see some loss of disc space. And of course, the extreme examples of that, you start to get sciatica, nerve pains, back pain, and that kind of thing. And so yoga is a very good system. The yoga postures are one of the best systems of exercise for the muscles, joints, and nerves. And it creates more space. And so that's what the problem generally is. Matter of fact, there's a lot of problems that manifest in the body due to decrease in space. Another example would be hardening of the arteries. It's loss of space in the arteries. Sciatica would be loss of space for the nerve. Degenerative arthritis would be loss of space in the joint. And so all of these conditions will respond to yoga, which is increasing the space between the joints.
Hmm. So with yoga and Ayurveda, you're taking care of your body, you're taking care of your mind, and another part of taking care of the mind has to do with prayer and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about meditation. We're almost coming up on another break. But an overview of why meditate. So okay. That'll be a good way for us to go into our next segment. So why meditate, Dr. Jack?
Okay. Well, meditation is kind of a way of creating more peacefulness in one's mind. And so we live in a world today that's very complex and that's very overstimulating to the senses. And what you're seeing today is you're seeing an explosion, especially in this country, of mental problems. And so you have, if you look at just the medications that are prescribed for things like depression, anxiety, attention deficit, and insomnia, just those four things, you probably have about as many prescriptions being written as people that exist in this country. And so this is due to the kind of world that we created, overly complex, overly complicated, overly stressful, and overstimulating to the mind. And so a practice like meditation that creates, that just gives you a space in your day to be able to slow down your thoughts, to be able to create more peacefulness and space in your mind, it's a very good practice to survive the kind of world that we live in.
I agree. I often start my morning, not often. I start every morning, not often, but every single morning I get up and I meditate from anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour before getting ready to go to work. And that centering and that quiet stillness really does help to get me through the day. And sometimes if I'm taking my lunch break, I will take my lunch break alone and I use that stillness and quiet to, again, center myself and actually energize for the next part of the day. And it's very, very helpful indeed. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break. So this is Terry Sue with Dr. Jack Ebner. And you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
And once again, welcome back, everyone, as we continue our discussion on Ayurveda, yoga, and meditation. Presently, we're talking about meditation and its benefits. So, Dr. Jack, what are the benefits of meditation?
Quite a few, actually. If you could put those benefits in a pill, then you'd probably have a bigger money maker than Viagra. The primary benefit, I guess you could say, is just literally creating more peacefulness in the mind. And since a lot of people, you know, their minds are working overtime, then just that in and of itself, of course, is a great benefit. But there's quite a bit, quite a few other benefits. And one of the things that I found in my own practice, and I started meditating when I was a teenager, and so I thought that was actually one of the things that really helped me to reach my potential and to get me through school and my doctorate and all of those other things. But what you're basically doing when you're doing yogic meditation is you're moving from the surface of your mind towards the core or the source of your mind. And so in the surface of your mind, you have really like just a lot of stuff that got put in there by other people, like all the thoughts that you have, all the beliefs that you have, everything that you've learned, everything that you've taken in and identified with. But as you go to the deeper layers of the mind, you start getting past all of that programming, and you start getting more to the core self, to your core self, or to who you really are, not kind of who you are that got put in there by society and your family and your teachers and your other belief systems. Mm-hmm. And as you get closer to the core of who you are, you also begin to access greater elements of creativity. And so, you know, when I was a child, I was a very uncreative child. You know, I didn't have talent in the arts, and I wasn't brought up to be creative. But from the practice of meditation, I was started to be able to access greater elements of creativity, and a lot of the achievements that I think I've had in my career have I give a lot of credit to that practice.
And so what, is meditation incorporated at Amadan?
Yes. Now, most of the yoga classes that we have are hatha yoga classes, or they're based on, or at least centered on the yoga postures. Mm-hmm. But different teachers integrate meditation into their classes in different ways. And then I myself have a special meditation class every Thursday night. And then I also do a couple of lecture series surrounding meditation as well. And so, yeah, we do teach it at our center.
Is it mantra-based? Any of it mantra-based?
It partially is mantra-based. When I teach my meditation course, I actually teach three different techniques. And one of them is mantra. And the other one is focusing on the breath. And the third element is focusing on a point in your body.
Mm.
And so the truth is that all three of those techniques are based on the same exact principle, which is you need one point to focus on. So whether that's a mantra or a sound or a point or the breath, it just simply gives the mind a single point to focus on. And that's really the, you know, if you explain yogic meditation, you can really do it in one or two sentences. And it's just basically focusing on making the mind one-pointed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing that the yogis understood and contributed was that if you can practice making your mind one-pointed long enough, if you can stream that focus with enough intensity and enough time, what happens all by itself is the point itself disappears. And so then you have no thought in your mind, and that's what we call transcendental state. And that's really the goal of meditation, is to stop the thoughts.
Yes, yes. That is where I do have difficulty, because they're so... And I find that most people that I talk to have degrees of difficulty doing that, because we have so many things on our minds that the effort to quiet the mind is often another thing that keeps moving.
That's very true. And I'll tell you, I've been teaching meditation for a very long time, many... even decades, and the truth is that yes, it's very, very difficult. But it's just a new skill, and all new skills are difficult. If you learned how to play a musical instrument, it would be difficult in the beginning also. And if you learned how to play tennis, it would be very difficult in the beginning also. And so it's a motor skill, just like learning an instrument or learning a sport. You've got to practice it, and the more that you practice it, the better that you get. And so it's the same. That's true for playing a musical instrument or meditating. The more time you put into it, the more regularity that you have, then the more you'll progress, the faster you'll progress.
And when I was listening to your response a little bit earlier, and you were talking about focusing, when you're meditating, you're focusing on parts of the body. Does that have to do with the chakra regions?
Yes, it can. It can. It very well. So When I do teach focusing on a point, that particular technique, I do use a chakra point, the point between the eyebrows, or the Ajna chakra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that third eye.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So how do we gather the mind, or how do we tame the mind through meditation? I don't know whether either that's the right word. How would we... I guess it would be by... I'm answering my own question at this point. Focusing on the silence, focusing on the mantra, focusing on a chakra region or part of, you know, one part of your body, a specific part of your body. Those are all techniques that are used to keep the mind from wandering, quiet the mind.
That's right, and it is a training of the mind. Mm-hmm. And so what happens when you start meditating, let's say...
Because I've tried a few of those. And, you know, I tell you the truth, all of them are very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, as you said, it takes a lot of practice. And,
right.
You know, I've been at it for a few years now, and it wasn't always 45 minutes to an hour. Sometimes I go,
sure,
and, you know, an hour and 15 minutes. But it wasn't always like that. And
right.
I find that the more I practice, the deeper my meditations are. And then in so doing, some of the things that I pray over and then meditate over, the answers come in the thoughts. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As you get closer to the source of your being, you'll start to see all kinds of knowledge, information that you'll be able to access.
And then that's the whole idea, just allowing yourself that stillness and silence and that opportunity to be alone, and even alone with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That is a way to kind of sort things out, to kind of gain a new perspective on where you want to go with your life and what you want to do and how you can use your life to not only benefit others, but benefit you in order to stay healthy enough to benefit others
mm-hmm.
and to help others.
I fully agree. And the more you get in touch with yourself, the more you'll be attracted to things that are harmonious and, you know, for your growth and for your wellness. And, you know, and the least that you're connected with yourself, the more you tend to be attracted to things that are disharmonious and unhealthy, which is a big problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, can a person meditate too much?
Not really. You know, Shiva Bali Yogi meditated from age 12 to age 24, 23 hours a day. Of course, I don't think there's you know, too many people that are interested in that kind of a practice.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just has to do with what your goals and what your intention is, for most people, 20 minutes or 30 minutes is a very good meditation duration. But just like, you know, if you go to the gym, you'll see, you know, some people will tend to exercise, I don't know, maybe on average 45 minutes to an hour. But then you'll always have your you know, those people that are, you know, working out 2.5 hours a day, same thing in meditation. You know, you'll have people who are, you know, meditating a normal amount, and then you'll have your studs, your meditation studs that, you know, meditate for longer periods like you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so my last question for you, Dr. Jack, is how has yoga and meditation and Ayurveda changed your life? And I know that's another loaded question, but I'm going to ask you to be a bit brief because we're running out of time.
That's a super loaded question. Well, I'll give you a simple answer. what it's done is it's helped me to reach my full potential. You know, it sends me in the direction of my full potential, and it gives me a continuous process for me to work on myself and improve myself. You know, I give it a lot of credit. I mean, my whole career is centered around those things, and so obviously it's had a huge impact on my life, not just my personal life, but my professional life and my ability to help other people. But, you know, simply speaking, it's really just a path to reaching your potential.
And so, wow, this time has gone by way too fast, but I would like to once again thank my guest, Dr. Jack Ebner, for sharing his journey, facilitating the healing process with his very worthwhile quest to help others find balance in their lives and heal as well as nourish the mind, body, and spirit. If our listeners would like to find out more, Dr. Jack, how can you be reached?
I could be reached by email through, is it okay if I give my email address?
Sure.
It's Dr. Jack, just no period, D-R-J-A-C-K, at omadon.com. And Omadon is spelled O-M-A, and then dawn, like the beginning of the day, D-A-W-N. .com. And so actually that's the best way to reach me, and anybody who has would like to contact me is welcome to.
And then I would like to thank you, my listening audience, once again for tuning in to Frame of Mind today, and I hope that you have enjoyed our time together. If you know someone who could be helped or served by this knowledge, please share it with them. So live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on Seventh Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths, live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.